I want John Kasich to be the next nominee of the Republicans and also to be the next president of the United States. Here he is.
Thank you, Arnold. Love you, man.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
18 years in Congress, two-time Ohio governor, action figure, John Kasich. The governor will join us in just a moment. And of all the Republican candidates, you know, people go, okay, we get it. You don't like Trump. You don't like Cruz. You don't like Rubio. Who are you supporting? If it's a Republican, yeah, of course I'm supporting Kasich, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that a lot and hearing that a lot more, too, that he is becoming a more viable alternative.
The reason that I believe Kasich, and by the way, I believe I called him that name first. I believe I called him the grown-up in the room before the rest of America jumped on that bandwagon. But the reason I like him is because he has executive political experience. And you can hate politicians all damn day if you want. But executive experience in getting the job matters. Add John Kasich on social media. We'll give you the campaign website as well. Good morning, Governor.
Hi.
Are you happy to have Mr. Schwarzenegger's endorsement? And would you ask him to beat anyone up?
Well, you know, I met Arnold in 2010 when I was running for governor, and he came in to campaign for me, and I was getting a lot of negative ads run against me, and I'm like a girly man. I'm like, Arnold, they're really beating me up. And he turns, he looks me square in the eye, and he says, John, love the beatings. Love them. And I've been loving them ever since.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and we hope we can talk with some regularity here as this thing goes on, because I think America needs you and needs you to win in Ohio. The polls have vacillated, but you're within shooting distance here at Trump. The last one I looked at, I think 2 or 3 points, depending on the poll. Ohio, of course,
we're going to win Ohio. We're going to win Ohio.
You're feeling good about it.
I feel great about it. We had a big rally in Toledo last night. Yeah, I mean, look, I believe the DNA of Ohioans is they're not going to go for Trump. I mean, look, Ohio's climbed out of the ditch. I mean, we're up 400,000 jobs. We're running balanced budgets, and everyone's being included. You know, the mentally ill, the drug addicted, and I believe you get a reward for that, and I think we'll do well. And here's the other interesting thing: I think we're actually doing really starting to climb in Illinois, and that's exciting as well. Because I mean, you know who. Who does not love Illinois, right? Who doesn't love Chicago? I'm going to Chicago here, I think, on Wednesday, and I just love it. So we are climbing, and I think what's finally happening is people are finally beginning to say, hey, we have problems, but is there anybody who can fix them? Because we do have real problems. And I think when you have a record of accomplishment, and let me tell you one other thing.
Yeah.
I'm the farthest thing away from being an establishment guy that you can find. I fought the establishment my whole life, and because I'm out there, you know, sticking up for the people who live in the burbs over there in places like outside of Chicago.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I think is going to be a huge challenge for the nominee, and let's say the nominee is you. How do you bring those anti-establishment types who believe Trump was the only answer in to unify the Republican Party? And then the rest of it, of course, which I believe you understand better than other candidates. You're not being elected president of the Republicans. You're being elected president of the United States, and you got to talk to both sides.
Oh, absolutely right. And look, there was one of these Fox News focus groups after the last debate, and there were three people there who raised their hands and said they had changed their mind. They were all for Trump, and they were all now for me. You know, people are pretty smart. They get a sense of what they want, and I think that that there's a situation where I can appeal to the Trump voters, but you cannot do it by, you know, insulting him. You have to appeal to them. Let me tell you real quickly. I was in Chicopee, Mass. Guy's in there. Somebody's in there saying, oh, it's John Kasich. He's running for president. Guy looks at me and says, you're running for president what? I said, I'm running for president of the Teamsters. He says, oh, good, because I'm for Trump. And I studied the guy, and I thought about him. And listen to him a little bit more. If I could explain to him how his life could be better specifically and what I have done in my career to improve the economic situation, I can get the Trump voters.
Governor, good morning. Why do you think you can convince Illinois voters to select you? Trump continues to pull high here. I know you'll be here. You'll be in Lisle and Palatine on Wednesday. But what are you going to say to Illinois voters to convince them to vote for you?
Well, look, I can't tell you. I'm going to beat him in Ohio. I can't tell you what exactly is going to happen in Illinois. Look, here's, I think, what the problem is. People feel as though their jobs are not secure. They haven't had any wage increases. They put their money in the bank. They don't get any interest. Their kids are living in their basement after having gone to college with huge college debts. And they're fed up.
Right.
They go to the grocery store, and the people who are on relief are buying better food than they are. I mean, it's a lot of things that are stuck in their craw. The only thing that I can say that works for me is I grew up in that environment. You know, my little blue-collar Democrat town is exactly a place where people didn't have any power. So when I talk about how I'm going to give power back to them, how I'm going to improve the economy, they can hear that. And my greatest asset is I've done it both in Washington and in Ohio. And I think when you have solutions and a vision, that's what I think can work.
You were in Washington for a long time, and you understand that the three bodies have to work together. The idea that the Republicans currently in office want to negate the Supreme Court by not having the sitting president name a nominee is more of the circular firing squad that the party's become. What would you do if you were president now?
Well, the problem here, folks, is this. Look, the president passed Obamacare. He did all these executive orders. He's hacked everybody off in the Congress. And, of course, the Congress, I mean, you had a guy in the Congress that when he's making a State of the Union speech, he yells, "You lie," and then he raises money off of it. We have to have a president that can be patient and a president that respects people that doesn't think exactly the way that he does. We're not in a parliamentary system. Let me tell you, one of the things your listeners worry about, if they're young or if they're old, is Social Security. If anybody thinks that Social Security can be solved by just one party, they're crazy. You can't do it. You have to have both parties buy in. That's how we got the budget balance. We had both parties
right.
buying in. Now, we called the tune, and they went along, but you had to have some degree of bipartisanship to get these big things done. And so you have to just understand how the system works. So as a congressman, I learned to resent the executive, and now as an executive, you know, you complete the sentence. I won't.
Right. No, I get it, but I think that's one of the keys to why people should take a longer look at you, because everybody wants to write off, well, they're in politics, so therefore they're a politician. You need to have common sense answers to things, real plans, but the executive political experience is a big deal. If you look at a governor's office, it's the same way the president's office is run. It's just in a state as opposed to the country.
Well, there's no question about it, and you have to be patient. You have to be patient with people in your own party who start, you know, going the wrong way on you. But I want to tell you guys something that I don't think it would have occurred to you. You know, the reason why I labored in obscurity and the reason why I really don't get the national attention now that others get is because I won't name call.
Right.
I mean, we have a system now where it's all about ratings. If you call names, you get on TV. If you propose solutions, you don't get on TV. What a hell of a situation, huh?
Right, right.
But I'll tell you what, I'm not going into the name calling business. I'm just not going to do it. And because you know what, I have my own reputation and my own legacy to preserve. And either I'm going to make it by raising the bar, taking the high road to the White House, because I'm not taking the low road to the White House. It's just the way it goes. But you know what? Down to four, I'm the only governor standing. We must be doing something right.
Governor, and despite not having a win during the Super Saturday caucuses or primaries, you're very confident that you could turn it around and surge ahead in the polls.
Well, we didn't even really make any effort in the caucuses because we have a campaign plan. We carry out the campaign plan. We actually got a lot more. We got a bunch of delegates that we never even thought we would get. And now in Michigan, according to a poll that just came out this morning, I'm in second place here in Michigan. I've risen just amazing how fast the rise has been. And when we win Ohio, it's going to be a whole new game. And if we can score delegates in Illinois. You know, it's exciting. Now, I'm not misleading you. Believe me, I actually believe this will happen. But I have to keep working, and I'm I got so many town hall meetings, you wouldn't believe it. I'd love for you guys to come to one because you would not believe how amazing they are.
Yeah, and you can count on, you said that he will be in Lyle.
Yes, Lyle and Palatine, correct, Governor, on Wednesday?
I'm going to be at DuPage County County Town Hall in Navistar at 10:30, and then I'm going to be in Cook County at Palatine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Palatine. Okay, yeah, that's at 1:30 in Cook County. God, Cook County. That's, like, really famous.
Yes. Yeah, see if you can fix a few things while you're here. Before I let you go, and we've only got, like, 30 seconds here, I know, but yeah. my question is this.
I got a question for you. What are the Cubs doing this year?
The Cubs are going to win the World Series. Write it down. I gave you time to write it down. Is Donald Trump manipulative or is he dangerous?
I'm not getting into that, but you all figure out who he is.
All right, I'll we'll do our best. And listen, all thanks right. for the time. I appreciate it.
Loved it. Loved it. Thank you.
See you later. I promise you, I wasn't trying to get him to call him a name.
No, that was funny.
I think it's a legitimate question because he spends time backstage with him.
Yeah, and by the way, I like how you brought up as long as you're going to be in Cook County.
Yeah, go ahead and fix something while
you're here. We got a list. We got a couple of page lists.
A whole bunch of things that would need addressing. Like, the reason I like him is because he has had success as a governor. He had success in Congress, so he understands the way Washington works. You know, one of the things, people want instant answers, and that's not a bad thing. But instant answers don't come in politics. It's a grind. It's a slog. And you can't blow up the system with Acme Dynamite, Wile E. Coyote. It takes time. The greatest thing Trump has done is he has gotten more people involved in the process. The most frightening thing he's done is he's gotten more people involved in the process.